This is Aiden O'Connell, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, today we're going to be talking about running back handcuffs. We're going to go over some of these guys in the NFC as we're starting to kick the tires on our season-long managed leagues and kind of get things going for the first versions of the ultimate draft cheat sheet over at rosterwatch.com. Of course, the Dynasty Top 250, the Dynasty Rookie Cheat Sheets, and the Best Ball Cheat Sheets are already up over there and being updated. But as usual, we like to shift to season-long managed leagues earlier than the rest, and that usually will occur at the beginning of June. And whenever that happens, we have to discuss handcuffs because, as we know, what that is for people who might be new to fantasy, I doubt you're that new to fantasy if you're watching a fantasy football daily show in May. But if you're new, what handcuffing is, you can do it with running backs, and it is a method by which you take a running back and you take kind of have insurance on that running back by also drafting his backup in case he is to get hurt. Now, it's something that you do in season-long managed leagues. It's something that you can do in dynasty leagues. It's something that you don't ever want to do in best ball leagues because in these big best ball tournaments, you're just wasting one of your slots where you could possibly get points in any given week. And what you need to do to really thread the needle in these tournaments is you're not going to win a tournament if your stud running back gets hurt. You know, you're not going to do it. So what you need is your stud running back to stay healthy, and you need other unexpected assets to emerge from deeper on your bench to come in and get plugged into your lineups in those weeks where your studs might be on bye or where they might not get it done for you. So you don't ever want to handcuff in best ball tournaments, but I feel like, Cody, that handcuffing has kind of gone out of vogue a little bit in season-long managed leagues. To me, I still do it, and I still think that there are spots where you definitely need to be handcuffing these guys.
Well, that's what I was going to say when you said, obviously, dynasty and seasonal, and then best ball, it's negative EV. The thing is, I think it's the opposite in dynasty. So dynasty is like you want to handcuff, best ball, you don't. And then in seasonal, it's like it's very much dependent on your situation. And it's – I think the best way to think about it is you can – and kind of what we're going to talk about today is all these NFC teams and should you, can you, do you want to, things of this nature, like regarding the handcuff. And in your seasonal league, maybe I have Bijan. Maybe I have a dependable other asset. And I'm like, well, I don't really need his backup. I can't afford it. Tyler Allgeier's going early, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to go get, you know, the Christian McCaffrey owner's backup. So I can handcuff him because that guy's been injury prone. That's kind of how I sort of like to attack the handcuff thing in seasonal. But again, if I have Christian McCaffrey, then I think I'm more apt to handcuff him. So I think it's situationally dependent, but that we're going to talk about that today. So I think it's an interesting topic.
Well, you bring up a good point. It's, you don't always have to handcuff your guys. What a lot of people do, and a lot of, more risk averse people, some people just say, man, I want to have the running back from this team. And if my guy gets hurt, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to go on waivers. I don't want to have to worry about losing a waiver bid. I just want to be able to plug the dude in who would step into the opportunity share. But there is the other way of doing it, like you said, where it's like you bring yourself the most upside by saying, if my guy stays healthy all year and your guy gets hurt, now I'm double swindling you. I call that less of a handcuff and more of like the voodoo doll that you hold over, that you hold over your league mates. But yeah, it's certainly the same concept, right? We're talking about backup running backs here and the kind of value that they can have if there were an injury occur to the starter. So let's go ahead and go through it. I made four different designations here. situations where I kind of think you must handcuff, right? Ones where it feels like you probably should handcuff, and then, you know, handcuff if you want is the third category. It's like, I'm, you know, you could, you don't really have to, but, you know, if you want to and you're that kind of player, it's fine. And then there's the group where it's like, no need to handcuff. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Do you want to let's do the NFC and we'll do the AFC for some other pod sometime. Do you want to go like team by team, or do you want to go like, let's do it like that. What do you say? We just do it like that.
I think we just go by team by team. I like that.
Okay. So, NFC, let's just start in the NFC East and we'll go with the Dallas Cowboys. I put Dallas in, well, as I go through here, it looks like I actually didn't put them in a category. So I skipped over them at first. But as I think about it, that's kind of like a pick your fighter situation or no need to handcuff situation, because I view Javonte Williams. How are those guys going in order? Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, and Jaden Blue. Is Javonte going ahead of Jaden Blue right now?
I think Javonte's going ahead of Jaden Blue. The last time I checked, I can pull it up really quickly right now.
So they've gotten real close. Javonte right now, and I'm just using underdog because it's even though it's best ball, it's pretty sharp ADP. The 121 for Javonte, 129 for Blue, and then Miles Sanders right now, 215.
I was going to say, he better be in the 200s.
So if here's the situation. From my perspective, you just take Jaden Blue in this spot and don't worry about what happened. I kind of think the Dallas goes in this spot where it's like, no need to handcuff. You can pick your fighter, and I'll take – Jaden Blue. I don't want to roster Miles Sanders or Javonte Williams.
Yep.
So I don't think that the handcuff is one here that is one that you'll be making. I think as far as the Dallas backfield, what I'll be doing is just taking Jaden Blue when I can.
I agree 100%. And even if he goes down, there's anything like that happens, it's like, what's more than likely going to happen is it's going to be Javonte / Miles Sanders / Phil Moffa / they might add somebody else. So I think you take the dynamo in the pocket that we've talked about, and that's Jaden Blue. And I don't – yeah, like you said, no need is kind of the category I would put Dallas in.
What do you make of the New York Giants?
The New York Giants is interesting because I don't think off the cuff this year I'll be drafting with intention either Tyrone Tracy, who's going off the board right now at 103, or Cam Scadab, who's going off at 98. They're kind of like side by side, and I think that the backfield is just going to be sort of – it's interesting because both guys can catch the ball in the backfield pretty well. Scadab obviously breaks tackles a little bit better than Tyrone Tracy, and he's a better natural between the tackles – runner, but he's also not that – he's not as like – I feel like when I think – some guys are like this. You think about him and you're like, man, Cam Scadab is like 6'1", 240. He's really not, right? He's not 6'1", 240. Kind of the opposite of that. So it's like I'm not sure which side of the fence I'll be on regardless for these guys. And with their draft capital, I don't think it can be a must or a should because it's just too much draft capital to put into a backfield like this. So –
You can't take both these guys. There's no need to handcuff. You don't want to use two picks around pick 100 to take the two running backs that could end up being a split backfield. What you do is you take one of them, you choose your fighter, and you hope that they take over the main portion of the workload.
Correct. But the thought that I would have is that like if you want category, I think kind of merits conversation because if somebody else – like I said, takes Scadaboo at 98. You disagree with it. You're like, well, if that guy thinks he's a starter, I'm taking the backup. I'm taking Tyrone Tracy, right? Pseudo, if you think that's the guy, but it's not really, I don't qualify that as like a handcuff or like you said, the voodoo doll thing. Like it's just way too early a draft capital. So yeah, I think no need.
Okay. Let's then go on to the Philadelphia Eagles. This one's interesting because with Kenneth Gainwell now gone, and with Cody, what do you always say? What were the touches last year for Saquon?
372.
372 touches. He's going to be at an injury risk next year. And now the Eagles did bring in AJ Dillon, but Will Shipley now is the guy who we like Will Shipley, and he brings a receiving and all around three down skill set to the table. They obviously feel somewhat comfortable with him in Philadelphia if they're letting a guy that they really seem to like in Kenneth Gainwell move on to the Steelers. So I don't know. To me, I think that this is one where it's either a should. I'm not sure it's a must handcuff, but I think it's a should handcuff. I think if you take if you're spending on Saquon Barkley, I know it's going to cost you a roster spot, but what do you Will Shipley's going in like close to pick 200 right now. He's basically free. Mm-hmm. I think if you take Saquon, you should be taking Will Shipley.
100%. This is a perfect situation too, because we know that Shipley's a good athlete. It's not like he's a zero. Montrell Johnson's also a good athlete. He's the rookie that they got from Florida this year.
I forgot they got him as a UDFA or as a UDFA, right? Or
did I don't think he's going to do anything per se, but I think that's still a good thought process at the position. Yeah, he was a UDFA, but he ran a 4.41 at 212 pounds as well. It's like, I think Shipley probably doesn't step in as the one for one for Saquon. If Saquon goes down, it's probably going to be some kind of two-headed monster. Plus they have AJ Dillon in that backfield. But I think Shipley would be the guy that would go out there and get the work and be the most dependable fantasy football asset, because he's a pass catching back. We know he could do it in the ACC. He's a really good back. So I would say Shipley, and I would say I you should. I don't know if it's not quite a must, because he's not a guy that's going to come in and one for one the role, or we'll talk about San Fran here in a minute. I think that's going to be probably a must, but I think it's a should, because we like the prospect.
It's pretty close to being a must.
It is pretty close, but it's not quite there, because we just haven't seen it from Shipley. Like if it was, like I said, San Francisco, like last year with Jordan Mason, even at that point though, we hadn't really seen it. But if you could look back 2020, it's like, Jordan Mason would have been a must.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Situations are situational.
Washington Commanders here. I mean, you have two guys at the top. They Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler sort of dodged the NFL draft, except for Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, who I think is an interesting kind of last round flyer to take anyway, but I'm not taking him as a handcuff to either of these guys. There are situations wherever two players are just standalone players. Right, Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler are they're standalone players. And to be honest, I was looking at this the other day when I was doing some manual testing on the best ball cheat sheet, and I got to thinking, I'm like, why is there so Brian Robinson is going at 88 and Ekeler is going at 157.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't understand why those guys are going 70 spots apart. It's six rounds of difference.
Well, I mean, because Robinson's going to be the lead back, and Eckler's just kind of like gotten like not significantly, but he's went down each of the last 3 years in output.
Right, but it was just, like last year, I think. Well, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that we used to be like, man, this guy's got a nose for the end zone. He loves fantasy. He wants to score touchdowns and stuff. And if you look at last year, I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but I believe he only scored one touchdown last season.
Well, he had four total. He had four rushing touchdowns last year. But like, it's that you look at the counterpart in that backfield. Jeremy McNichols also had four.
Okay, I don't know why I thought he only had one. Did he have one receiving touchdown?
I don't think so. No.
Okay, so that's why I always say I don't have it in front of me. So please check. But yeah, so the touchdowns are low. Maybe that could regress. But these two guys are standalone. These two guys are standalone running backs. There's no way you could even. What are you gonna handcuff with Jeremy McNichols or Ja'Cory Kroski?
No, I would. I would say if you have, it's not. Here's how I can explain this. It's not really a handcuff. I would say, like, if you believe in Eckler's role, I would just not take Ekeler. I would take Kroski Merritt in the last round, or as like a flyer in the last round, or just keep my eye and put what's the flag they got like on the wish list or like the watch list that you have on your app. Like, that would be a Kroski Merritt guy. It's not really taking him as your handcuff. It's more so like Austin Eckler's been regressing the last 3 years, and he hasn't played full seasons the last 3 years. So that's your Eckler handcuff is Kroski Merritt. Robinson, I think his role is just safe.
All right. I'm not taking Brian Robinson at pick 88.
I'm not either.
So, all right, let's move to the NFC North. Goes to the Chicago Bears. Of course, we know they have Roschon Johnson and DeAndre Swift at the top of it. A committee, a platoon, one that we could see be like David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs light with Ben Johnson. And if it turns out that that's the case, Roschon Johnson's a value right now in these drafts. DeAndre Swift is a value in these drafts if you believe in them and you believe that neither of them are total dust. I've also talked about my interest in Kyle Manungai. I think that he's been sort of overlooked here in this spot, especially with how much it seems like the new running backs coach Eric Bieniemy kind of likes the guy, and also the fact he was very productive. Very productive in college. So I don't really know if this is something where if you draft Roschon, you handcuff him with Manungai you know what I mean? Like, feels with, like, I think it's like there's no real need to handcuff. Just kind of pick your spot here. If you can get value on any of these guys, you could be fine taking him. And what you hope is going to be an ascending offense with year two with Caleb Williams.
Well, how do you feel about Swift? Just off, like, first thoughts this year.
I think he's a critical risk of being completely dusted.
Well, then you just take Manungai in the last round.
I'm interested in that, but I'm also open to the idea that DeAndre Swift can be in some ways resurrected. But it's just hard for me to look at how, like, just the eyeball test, man. He doesn't look good.
But even if he's resurrected, having the handcuff to him, I feel like it's probably not Roschon or
– oh, they play completely different roles.
Or Manungai. And I think if Swift went down, they would go out and they would look for somebody on the street.
Yeah, or do something where they play like Travis Homer or something. Like, you can't be rostering these guys as handcuffs.
The enemy coach Kareem Hunt, he's on the street. Like, that's going to be some pukey thing that happened in week six due to Swift.
Is Kareem Hunt technically on the street, or is he technically still is he on the street?
I thought he was. I thought that Kansas City was, like, thinking about bringing him back, but I don't know if they brought him back officially or not.
I think he's wrong.
He re-signed a contract on March 17th, so I guess I – maybe in the back of my head knew that. Maybe I didn't. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe, like, that backfield just got 817 players in it. But anyway,
yeah, it certainly seemed whenever they acquired Elijah Mitchell that he was going to be.
That's the other one. There you go. Elijah Mitchell was there too.
The next one. So don't handcuff Chicago guys.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple thousand dollars in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/EYL or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/EYL.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
And then it's, I mean, it's the same thing for Detroit. It's too expensive to handcuff Jahmyr Gibbs with David Montgomery. You just kind of be pick one or the other, right?
Yeah, the cost is too high. Similar to the Giants thing, but to an extreme level.
Yeah. Next up, we have Green Bay. So this one's interesting because you do have your big time lead dog here in Josh Jacobs, and the Packers did not draft a running back. They still have Marshawn Lloyd, who was a third round pick last year, who has skinny, skinny, skinny little Darren McFadden legs. And as we expected, was going to have trouble staying healthy at the NFL level because he always had trouble staying healthy at USC.
Yeah.
Take it from somebody that had Josh Jacobs last year that drafted Marshawn Lloyd as his handcuff. It's like it didn't work out that well last year for me, and you had to drop Marshawn Lloyd at some point whenever he's not even on the active roster. And it felt like also even when Marshawn Lloyd was back healthy towards the end of the season, if somebody was going to be mixing in, it was going to be Emmanuel Wilson.
Yeah.
So I think this is a handcuff if you want. If you want a handcuff, I think that Marshawn Lloyd is probably the chalk answer as far as who the proper handcuff is for Josh.
You would do Lloyd?
I think so. I think I would just go back to the well and be an idiot again.
Well, then I'm going to stay away then, because I was going to say if you do anything, you got to do Emmanuel Wilson. Because, they showed you at the end of the year, like, he scored a touchdown in three consecutive games to finish the season out.
And yeah, maybe it's just somebody.
Carries, he was averaging 4.5, 5 yards per carry. It's like,
here's the thing: is Marshawn Lloyd's really good, though.
He is, but Emmanuel Wilson clearly knows the offense a little bit better. And
okay, well, so
here's the thing: if we're going to be all in on Josh Jacobs, though, it's like,
I'm not necessarily all in on Josh Jacobs. I love Josh Jacobs. We were pretty heavy on him last season.
I think it's an if you want.
Yeah, just handcuff him if you want, and you can choose. I think I would prefer Marshawn Lloyd. Cody prefers Emmanuel Wilson. Clearly, it's a last pick of the draft kind of situation there to give yourself some insurance. Minnesota Vikings. This is one where if you take it, I'm not convinced that I see it as 1A and 1B with Aaron Jones and with Jordan Mason.
I think the ADP is probably close to that, isn't it? Aaron Jones is at 83. And Jordan Mason is at 105. So it's pretty similar to that New York Giants situation.
So you're having to spend your seventh and your ninth to lock up the Minnesota running game, what could be a 50-50 if they all stay healthy the whole time?
Yeah, so I don't think it qualifies technically as a – you can't – you pretty much can't. The only cuff would be is if you go, well, Aaron Jones is 30 and Mason is – Mason's Mason, and Ty Chandler's been that offense for 3-4 years. You could be like, well, Ty Chandler's the handcuff, but I mean, you got to be I'm not even trying to talk myself into that. It's not a handcuff. You just can't handcuff. It's too expensive.
What about the Falcons? Because it's pretty obvious here. Like, they don't have they have like Jace McClellan and stuff like that, right? Jace McClellan, but this is Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. And to me, it almost feels like, as much as I would hate to roster Tyler Algier, his
ADP, bad price.
His ADP is 152.6. And if Bijan were to go down, it's some decent insurance that you're getting for your first round pick there.
I think it's elite insurance because it's a guy that we've seen continually the last 3 years, like rush for 1,000, obviously his rookie year, 600 each of the last 2 years. Like, even with Bijan, he's gotten opportunities and he's, you know, done well with it, averaging almost 5 yards per carry. So this is one of the best handcuffs that you can have in football.
Oh, so you think I was going to say should handcuff. Do you think this is must handcuff? It's at that price. What is 152? You're talking
152 is like
13th round. 13th
round.
Yeah. Like, I think you kind of got to handcuff him.
If you
must handcuff.
Yeah. I mean,
you should.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think you should. If I was in a draft, I'd say to myself, like, I must do this in the 13th round.
All right. Well, then it's a must.
Carolina Panthers. Another kind of interesting one here because, like, It feels like Chuba Hubbard's backup is going to be Rico Dowdle, but Trevor Etienne comes into the situation out of Georgia and might present himself as kind of a complimentary style back. So if you take Chuba and you're using on him a, you know, fifth round pick, to get Rico Dowdle, you're going to have to be having to use a 13th, 14th round pick. I'm not sure I'm that interested in handcuffing Chuba because I think that Trevor Etienne might step more into the spotlight then. But I'm not.
I'm not touching Rico Dowdle.
He didn't look terrible last year.
I'm not touching Rico Dowdle. I'm probably not going to have Chuba, but if I did, even if I don't, I think Trevor Etienne, by the time we get through camp, might end up being the number two, the clear two. And he's going off at 215 right now. I think Trevor Etienne he's a should. Because a good offensive line. This is a top five salaried offensive line in football right now. And they should take a step forward. And Chuba just got paid. I don't know. I tend to probably just believe Chuba's going to be fine and healthy all year. But, like, if I have Chuba, I think you should. And I don't want to have real draft capital into the Carolina offensive, into the Carolina backfield. So I think it's Chuba and then Etienne.
That's fine.
And Chuba and Dowdle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fine. All right, we're on NFC South. So, this is the New Orleans Saints gets tricky because Alvin Kamara feels like a guy that you should handcuff, but you gonna handcuff him with Kendre Miller again?
Devin Neal?
Devin Neal is there. At this point, Kendre's gonna get a clean slate, but dude, at this point, he's kind of showed us that I don't know what. He's having a hard time staying healthy. He's had a hard time getting coaching staffs to like him.
Yeah.
Super talented. If you were to ask me about, like, the prospect that – the Big 12 running back prospect that I thought was better just coming out of college, I would certainly tell you that I thought that Kendre Miller was a better prospect than Devin Neal. But I'm not sure. It's like we've seen a lot of evidence now that maybe Kendre ain't it at the NFL level. We have seen flashes of brilliance from him.
What do you think about Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this backfield?
No, get out of here.
Hey, he's in New Orleans.
Get out of here.
He's back in New Orleans.
I don't care where he is. I think you should handcuff Alvin Kamara, but would you do it with Kendre or with Devin Neal? It's actually really hard for me to – I think it's really hard for me to choose. Are their ADPs identical? Kendre's 215. Devin Neal is
180. This is one where I might just kick the can. Like, it's May. I know that. And, like, I know we're going to start drafting here in about a month and a half for seasonal stuff more consistently. But I think this is one I might kick the can until I see camp. Because, you know what? It's going to sound stupid. It's going to sound like a trashy take. As, like, a handcuff for Alvin Kamara, it's like I just think that – you know, like there's that Jamal Williams role that we saw a couple of years ago where it's like there's just a running back there getting run. Like, is that what you want? Do you want a guy that's just going to – like I think Neal or Kendre could just be a back that just like gets run, kind of like Tyler Allgeier. What's that worth? Is that worth what it's worth? Or if Kamara goes down, then Marcus Yarns steps into the pass-catching role and
I forgot they got him.
I just wonder what the role is worth – if a Kamara goes down, because nobody can replace Kamara.
All right. That's
I just wonder, you know, I don't know.
With the Tampa Bay Bucks, you have Bucky Irving.
What was your answer for them? I don't know what to do with them.
I think I would take, I'd take Kendre or Devin Neal.
If you want, or you should.
Now, after hearing you, it's kind of if you want. I think if Kamara goes down, you're kind of swindled.
That's what I'm worried about.
You know? Bucky Irving and Rashad White in Tampa Bay, and then behind them, all you have is really Sean Tucker. Both those guys are standalone players. You're probably going to have, you know, you're going to have Bucky Irving is maybe your low-end RB1 or certainly your RB2, whereas Rashad White, hopefully you can have him more as a flex kind of position player. So those certainly are players that you would handcuff with one another. You have to take them both too high.
Do you? I didn't realize Rashad White was in the 140s. Is 140 starting to get to a category where you're like, when you, especially when it's Bucky. Bucky's at 22. Like, I think I'm starting to get to a point, and I want to get your thoughts.
Fourth round?
I'm starting 144th overall, so that's 10. That's 10. 12th round. So I'm starting to get to a point, though, Alex, with like Bucky at 22. Like, as he creeps closer to the first round.
For some reason, man, I was thinking Rashad White was
in the 90s.
Dude, Rashad White's a value right now.
That's what I'm saying. I'm start as Bucky's going towards round one and Rashad's going towards the back end, I'm starting to love more Rashad and kind of get away from Bucky.
Yeah. And I think if you take Bucky, I actually think that you should handcuff him with Rashad White. Rashad White's value shoots through the absolute roof.
Yeah.
If anything happens,
we saw him do it.
If anything happens to an undersized between the tackles grinder and Bucky Irving, are you kidding? Yeah. So I think that you should. That's one that I didn't have down, but I don't think it's a must handcuff because it's you can still get like from where he's going right now, you can still get good players.
Yeah.
You know, well, we're going to talk about Isaac Grindo and Trey Benson here in a minute. Those both, if you wanted to handcuff two guys that could end up being super valuable for your other, you know, more the voodoo doll kind of stuff. But yeah, as I'm looking around here, it's like, I think it's kind of a gross area.
Yeah.
The most appealing guy in this area to me would be if I had waited to take a tight end, maybe a Dalton Kincaid. But yeah, I think you should just based on this the grossness of this 12th round. I think that you should, if you have Bucky Irving, you should handcuff him with Rashad White. All right, let's go to the next one here, and that is now our final four. We just mentioned him a little bit here, or I sort of talked about him. Trey Benson and James Conner for the Arizona Cardinals. I think that I think that it's a must handcuff.
Must.
Yep.
This is not even – this is again, we come in – you know, a couple years ago it was Tony Pollard with Zeke. It's like this is the best – I think this is the best handcuff in the sport right now. Not in the sport. In the NFC right now is Trey Benson behind James Conner.
I'm not sure about that because okay. Who's – he's fine. I think that there are three teams in the NFC West that you that it's a very important to handcuff. This I'm not sure that this is one of them with the Seattle Seahawks. Ken Walker, do you have to handcuff him with Charbonnet?
His health would tell you.
What?
His availabilities the last couple of years would tell you that he played.
But Charbonnet goes higher than his ADP is 113. You know, you're talking about what, ninth round pick?
That's too much.
It's too much.
Well, Martin, you'd have to basically overstep him and go to Martinez if you're gonna.
Because Kenneth Walker, as it is, it's like Kenneth Walker, as it is a late fifth. So it's almost like you're getting value on. Do you have to handcuff running backs that you take in the late fifth round?
I don't think I would do it with the Charbonnet. I think yeah. I would let somebody else take Charbonnet, and if I was going to protect myself in any way with Ken Walker and my worry about his groin or his abdomen that always flares up every year, it would be with probably a Martinez. Okay. So I think it's a if you want slash no need.
For the Los Angeles Rams, I think the Kyren Williams is a must handcuff just because you can get Blake Corum and Jarquez Hunter for so cheap and – he's in the final year of his deal. He gets used so very much. He's a health concern. Now it's a matter of pick your fighter between Hunter and Blake Corum. We know that they spent a third round pick on Blake Corum last year. They spent a fourth round pick on Jarquez this year. It's funny because Blake Corum was always my comp for Jarquez Hunter during this. So I think I view those two guys as very similar. I think their ADPs like are just the same. It's almost like I would maybe see who's so Corum right now is 200.5, Jarquez Hunter is 198. It's they're the exact same ADP. I think I might go with Jarquez Hunter. Or do you go with or do you think that Sean McVay goes with the running back who has been in the system for one season? Maybe that's the better way to look at it.
That matters. I don't know if the system thing matters. I think it's more about the, you know, the best player who was picking up the playbook, whoever, you know, if Jarquez looks better. And the thing we know about Corum that Jarquez doesn't have an issue with is, you know, Corum's got the post ACL, you know, again, we don't know what he looks like now because we haven't really seen him play a lot of football like we did that year at Michigan after the ACL. But if he hasn't gotten the juice back, we know Jarquez has got the juice. So if it's just, you know, lining these guys up next to each other in practice, I think Jarquez will take the step forward.
Sticking in the NFC West, Cody, tell the people the one situation that it is 100% illegal not to handcuff.
It's I feel like it's been Christian McCaffrey for the last 3 years, and last year paid in dividends with Jordan Mason. Jordan James now comes in there as a rookie from Oregon, and you also have the burner himself, 4.39 running, Isaac Garendo. You must handcuff the always overrated Christian McCaffrey.